This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us on BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Soo Chong with Philip C. But right now, we're going to turn our attention to the recruitment process for foreign domestic workers, because if you plan to hire a domestic helper, be prepared to pay an astronomical sum of around 25,000 ringgit for recruitment fees. Let me just repeat that, right? 25,000 ringgit to get essentially a helper in the house.
Now, this figure could go higher, no thanks to COVID-19 quarantine and test costs, and does not include the monthly basic salary of helpers. Wow, you know, Chuang. And even if you are prepared to pay, there may still be no helpers, as at the MOU on the Recruitment and Protection of Indonesian Domestic Workers, PDI, between Malaysia and Indonesia has yet to be finalised, which is expected to focus on several issues like the one channel system, welfare and salaries, as well as the one helper, one task concept. Now, as you know, Chuang, many Malaysian families rely heavily on domestic help, but with exorbitant fees, how will they cope? And can government policy be more accommodative of the situation?
Well, to dissect this conundrum, we now turn to Koh Yuling, the political economist of Sergi Enam Advisors. Yuling, can you help us understand why it costs so much to recruit a helper? Where does the money go?
Hi, good morning. Well, it looks as though the costs are so high in Malaysia. If I look at the old structure, this is without the COVID costs and things. The indicative is really at that, you know, the high teens of the 16 to 20,000. And interestingly, the official fees, about 8,000 ringgit. And there is a direct hiring model where you apply directly, which is then rated at around 4,000. So it seems like 4,000, 8,000, and then double it. You double it every time. So if you're lucky, you can get somebody who is already here. And then this is where it pushes employers to try to find somebody who's here. And then if not, you have to look into the agency model for new, as it were, new placements. I think the problem that we face is that a lot of people have to do this new placement model, which is where you see these costs. And then, of course, if you add on with the COVID quarantines and everything, then that pushes it a lot higher. In terms of structure, you should think about it as the agency fees and the training fees as one bunch of costs. And then the other bunch of costs are like work permits, official fees. You know, there might be elements of placement fees from the country of origin, like Indonesia and Philippines. If I look at other countries, there's a whole system of security bonds as well. And then, of course, the COVID-19 related. So basically, I sort of see it as three buckets of costs.
Yeah, and Yuling, there my question is this pricing market-driven? Like there's a high demand for these workers and short supply, and that's why pricing can go higher, right? There's some elements which are regulated, but when I hear you out, many elements are not regulated per se. So is this really a market-driven pricing?
Yes. So I think if you look beyond, I mean, if you look at the new placements where it's that, you know, under the pre-COVID situation, the structure of the 8 and the 16. So I guess if you're willing to pay double, the question is whether you have these biodatas of the workers. So then that speaks to the urgency, right, of your need. Then you have to pay for the service. And I think it's also to have a pool of choice as well. So there's market elements as well. But I always feel that there can be very strange administrative quirks, which then make it very difficult for people to, as it were, you know, within a so-called market system, to be able to have a ready pool. And this is where, if you look at the situation in Hong Kong and elsewhere, where the workers have a voice, they do ask that they have residency permits, they can stay on longer to find new employers. So I sort of hesitate that this is a real market situation, because there can be the market can be damaged by administrative decisions.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way of saying possible leakages, isn't it, Yuling? But, you know, equally, if pricing is determining the high cost, shouldn't there also be a market solution where, you know, unemployment in Malaysia is a real issue, right? And if standards are increased and guidelines are introduced, right, why is there not a domestic solution to what is essentially a domestic problem?
Well, that's fascinating because, I mean, in my own limited experience, we were hoping to hire somebody who was a local lady. And actually, once you cost in all these placement fees and all that, it's actually quite similar. And obviously, this is looking at something that is not a cheap solution. This is not for many households to consider. It's about, probably about 3,000 ringgit per month plus, right? And if you say what you want to a specialist who can, look after your kids, speak certain languages that you prefer, it's easily going to be there. But I think getting somebody who's local, the typical issues that people have of their willingness to stay, the weekends off and all that. So maybe with the increase in costs for foreign domestic workers, there will be an increased push to help get domestic people in. But it's just not one of those non-preferred things. People prefer to work in a shop, to work in a factory rather than and tend to work in a domestic situation.
How do our fees compare to Singapore?
Well, Singapore is also interesting. Everyone is trying to have these models where they try to open a channel where you can have a direct hiring. And the question is, how many people can actually access this? I'd love to really see the data. And the same is in Hong Kong, because, Hong Kong touts if you can do a direct hire, which is a transfer, say, from, somebody leaving the country or something like that, it costs less than 1,000 Hong Kong dollars, which is 500 ringgit. So how many people can use that channel? That's the question. And if you look at Singapore as well, they do have a direct hiring model where it is fairly cost effective. But, if I do look at the Singapore direct placement fees, it's also quite high. But the question is whether you look, this whole foreign exchange conversion, right? The whole dollar for ringgit thing. Because if you disregard the foreign exchange conversion, because if you work in Singapore, you're going to earn, 10,000 ringgit here, 10,000 Sing there. Mm. Yeah, it's about 5,000 to 8,000 Singapore dollars. This is excluding the security bond, which is recoverable. So if you compare that to, of course, that translates to 15,000 to 24,000 ringgit. But if you look at your earning power, it's completely different.
It's one third.
Yes.
Yeah, Yuling, what we're talking about is basically a first world problem, isn't it? Because domestic help is something that, many countries in Asia have benefited from and it's become a normality, right? But in the UK, maids or domestic help is a real luxury. So in terms of the workforce, in terms of labor force participation, what does it mean if, for example, one of the two spouses is forced to stay at home to look after the children? What does that mean from the economy, from the perspective of long-term, productivity and economic growth?
Well, this is the fascinating thing. I mean, if I compare to, this is very anecdotal, but, I have a very good friend in London, and the situation there, at least before Brexit, was that there were a lot of Eastern Europeans and even Latin Americans who could work there. My friend was basically saying at one point is that, look, I have to, I have to pay this amount. It's pretty much like what I earn. The amount that she earned went directly to the helper, but it helped her to keep her career and her benefits. So I think maybe that's a situation that Malaysians are now facing, because you have to compete for a limited supply of people, or at least increasingly limited supply of people going forward, unless you get, from very different cultures that you're not used to. Philippines and Indonesia is who we are very much more familiar with. But Malaysians are getting priced out of it, clearly. I mean, if I look at the statistics, at one point, the news talks about 300,000. And then nowadays, when you try to look at the data, it looks as though it's towards 200,000. So, it does seem that Malaysians just can't afford it. And yes, if you want to keep your career, especially the women, I suppose now men have these, home dads. But you do have to consider, really paying top dollar.
Okay, so then what can the government do to help reduce these fees?
Well, I guess the obvious thing for Malaysia is this official fees of 8,000. I mean, why? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to disregard the COVID costs. Hopefully that'll phase out over a while. But, why 8,000? And, this is a multi-billion dollar industry, right? Of permits, of getting these, Malaysia has a real business philosophy of privatization. Has this gone a bit too much for some reason? But having said that, even at the delivery countries of where they come from, you know, we have the issue and worries about modern slavery and debt bondage. So you really do have to pay up.
Okay, well, Yuling, well said, and thank you for your kind thoughts. That was Kor Yuling, the political economist of Sergi and Arm Advisors, you know, expounding on this thorny issue of the high cost of domestic helpers. And, you know, this whole discussion makes me, in a way reflect on, for example, if you can't afford the expensive artisan Starbucks Americano, don't drink the Americano. Yep. And in certain cases, don't even drink coffee. And I know a lot of households in Malaysia who make do without domestic help, mine included, and we've never had any domestic help. We've just done everything ourselves. I think there's a real proposition for that as well.
Yeah, I think it's a choice you have to make, right? Whether or not you want to basically pursue your career outside in the corporate world or not, right? Then there's a choice. But the problem is the government is not making the choice easier with these higher fees. And that's the biggest challenge. Now, this topic is such a long debated topic. And if you're very interested in this topic, actually, the Evening Edition yesterday actually ran a very interesting show with Zena Lau and Dato Fu Yong Hui addressing the shortage of domestic helpers during the pandemic as well. So tune into that.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.